Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. On the show today, I'm interviewing Debbie Arcangeles, who is a lovely human who runs the Offbeat Life podcast. She managed to completely quit her job and go remote and work as a full-time podcaster and nomad, living the dream, and she helps other people do the same thing. I think you'll learn a lot from her. She's got a great book on podcasting and just generally achieving your goals in life. So yeah, she's really helped teach me a lot about like raising my ambitions around the podcast side of things, because I just haven't been that bothered about commercializing it as such. I've just done this for general interest, and I think she helped me a lot, and I'm sure she'll help you if you ever thought about trying to become more of a remote individual. And I would recommend her own podcast, and I've appeared on that, and we had a lot of fun there. So yeah, great conversation with Debbie and lots of great insights on mindsets and trying to find success and happiness on your terms. So Debbie, I'd like to start with a quick intro where you explain your whole life.
As Sam said, my name is Debbie. I have a website and a podcast called The Offbeat Life, where I help people become digital nomads, remote workers, and we have a ton of different resources to help people through that. And it's kind of interesting that now with the COVID situation, everyone obviously is now a remote worker or trying to be. So we've been pretty excited to help everybody about that. So the way I started is I didn't even know what podcasting was. None of this was. I was a traveler for a really long time, like probably a lot of you are, and you were really interested in it. And I'm an immigrant. My families are immigrant as well. Traveling for us was not necessarily for leisure. It was more because we had to do it in order to make money. So I came from the Philippines, and then my family and I immigrated to the United States. And I really didn't start traveling until I was about 16. Instead of having a Suite 16 that a lot of girls here in the US have, I told my parents I'd rather go on a school trip to Paris with my friends, because instead of having just one night and spending all that money, I would rather spend that money, probably even a little less, to go to Paris for 2 weeks. So that's what I did. That was the first travel that I've ever done outside of immigrating to a new country. And that really sparked my interest in traveling. And then after that, I worked 2 to 3 jobs to kind of sustain my travel addiction after that. And I worked a ton of jobs in my 20s. I was a gallery director, a photojournalist. I was an art teacher, a photographer, you name it, I've done it. I started 3 jobs, failed it before I actually succeeded in this one. So it was a lot of ups and downs and a lot of failures that I definitely learned from. And I got into podcasting because my fiance at the time was really into podcasting, and he introduced me to it. And I knew it was a medium that I wanted to do, because at that time, everybody was like, you should start a blog. And I didn't want to tell people what to do and what to see. And I would rather talk to people who are able to travel and make it more sustainable. And that's really how this whole journey began, was just for me to learn from other people. And I thought that recording it, hopefully I could help other people do it as well. And within a year, I was able to leave my full-time job and do it full-time. And now it's a little over 2 years. And this is my main bread and butter, podcasting and content creation. And that's about it.
I love hearing people's life stories and sort of seeing the intricacies of their life and how they unfold. So yeah, I'm not from America. This whole Sweet 16, I thought it was just like a fun TV show for the idiots that like go really for it. And like not everyone did it. But it's just like everybody like have a proper Sweet 16 then?
I don't think everybody does, but most girls do. In my culture, in the Philippines, we do what it's called a debut, and it's when you're 18. But I didn't have either one because I'm not that type of person. So I told my parents, either like I don't have it at all, or let me go to Paris, because I don't want to spend all that money on one night. I mean, that's ridiculous. I think it was also less expensive for actually them to spend that money for me to go to Paris than to actually do the suite.
Yes, I guess I think maybe people that kind of have this travel bug, they just sort of
As in, I had like a job at college with my friends, and they kind of spent it all on like computer games and like just eating nice things for lunch or whatever. And I just sort of didn't spend any money on like those kind of stuff or like having big parties. I went to lots of parties and things. And then it was all like, yeah, I'd rather spend this on travel. Like you get so much more money for what you spend, so much more experience for what you spend. You can kind of go to parties and have like as much fun anyway. And when you host your own party, it's not even that much fun as well. More stress.
Yeah.
So what about like weddings? Have you had a wedding?
No. So the funny thing is we were supposed to elope and then COVID happened and we had to cancel it. But I don't really care because it's not like, I didn't want to have a huge party either. And it was just going to be us and then like a handful of our really, really close friends and family. And it was funny because a lot of my friends are from all over the world and they were willing to come from across the earth just to go and meet us for like 2 days. So we're definitely not doing the big wedding. Totally not us.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to have like a party with lots of people, but I didn't see why I'd spend so much money on it when I could do other things.
Yeah. It's like, I would rather spend that money doing other things, like maybe investing.
What do you feel is like your best value for money investment in terms of like if you spent $100 or something, it's been like gives you the most joy?
Honestly, what gives me the most joy and value is reinvesting my money on investments or my business. I'm so weird. That's where most of my money goes to. So even during COVID, I've spent like thousands of dollars so far to educate myself, to have a better business and learning stuff. Aside from food, that's really where all my money has been going to.
Definitely a good growth mindset attitude there, winning. It's always interesting to see what you can add to yourself. And the whole concept of like your money, you can like lose it in an instant. But if you're constantly investing in yourself and becoming a wiser, smarter person, then your potential to earn just goes up and up and up, like the older you get if you're always becoming smarter. Interesting. So then you went into like all these different jobs. So how did you like get into those things? Because they all seem quite interesting, but kind of hard to really make money out of taking photos and art gallery stuff. It seems sort of like people like doing this and it's harder to like sell.
So what I was doing pretty much during that time was just figuring out what I really wanted to do. So everything that I was interested in, I just went into it, whether an intern, an assistant, getting jobs from it. And at that time, I was getting really good at landing jobs because I've been in so many interviews that it was crazy. Like I probably landed 95% of every interviews I got into because I just perfected everything about interviewing. So anything that really interested me, I really just went for it. And that was really the experiment stage in my life. And so I was even an assistant in the budget travel magazine. I don't know if you've heard of that. And I worked for them too. So it was about photography and I was really into photography at that time. And yeah, so everything that I was just really interested in, I just went for it. And that's how I lived. And at that time, it wasn't about making money. It was really about finding what I was really loving and I wanted to get into.
Like following your interests rather than just the money, which often is the way to make money really in a sustainable long term, because if you do what you love, you'll be able to keep on doing it and do it really well. Still, it's rather cool. And I guess you learned like a lot of skills along the way for them being able to sort of set up the podcast that you now run from doing this. So I often ask people about how they employ others and the questions they like asking during interviews and things, but not the other way around about how to like ace an interview. So what were the things you learned that gave you the 95% hit rate besides just showing up and being interested? Is there any actual like specific skills you used?
So if you've been to enough interviews, you're going to realize that they ask you a lot of similar questions. And I'm forgetting all of that right now because I haven't been in an interview for God knows how long. But if you go into enough interviews, they're going to be asking you a lot of similar questions. And what I would do is I would test it out, my answers on every single one. And then whatever really hit the mark, then I would keep reusing that and then tweak it a little bit. And then I just got really good at it. And then also, because I did it so much, I wasn't nervous and I was super confident in what I was saying. I knew what to do, what to say, what questions they were going to ask me, that it just became second nature and I was just really comfortable in my skin. And I think that's really what they are looking for, is somebody who is confident, who they think will know what to do, and someone who has the right answers. I obviously didn't start out that way and I fumbled in so many different interviews before I started getting really good at it. But again, you keep going and going and going, you're just going to be really good at it.
Yeah, because it can be pretty demoralizing when you've sort of gone to a few interviews and hasn't gone well, and then you sort of just put things off, and but just keep going. General useful lesson in life and taking action, really. Okay. And then, so did you do some of that? Did you then kind of transition into being like a remote worker to then be able to do the podcast?
I wasn't a remote worker yet. I wanted to transition into becoming a remote worker. I was still doing my 9 to 5. And honestly, my job that I had was probably a lot of people's dream job. I made my own hours. I made a ton of money, and I was only like working 20 hours a week, and I could take off whenever I wanted. So for most people, they were like, oh my God, why are you leaving this? And you have security. You make a ton of money. You barely work. Your company is really great. Why are you leaving this? But honestly, it was because I knew it wasn't right for me. And I was literally having panic attacks every 4 months. Wow. And it wasn't the job itself, because it actually wasn't anything that was bad. If anything, it was pretty fulfilling. And I was doing it for almost 7 years. And I just needed a change in my life. And I knew that I needed to do something else. And I wanted to be in a more creative space. And that's really what pushed me to start this. And for a lot of people, they thought it was freaking crazy, because they were like, you have it. You don't work a lot. You could take off whenever you want. You could travel when you want. Your bosses are awesome. Your company is great. Like, what the hell are you doing? But I just knew, like, it was a risk, but I'm so glad that I did it.
It's interesting. Because I just certainly get more panic attacks from like things being too easy than things being hard, whereas like going out and doing ridiculously stupid things, that the normal kind of stuff that give people panic attacks, so like that's like the normal like nice environment of like good. You're going, right, there's chaos, this is fine.
Yeah, like we thrive in chaos. I feel like I always have to be challenged, and I think with that job I felt like I was at the top of my game. And then after that, I knew like I wasn't doing my best anymore, because I was getting bored. Like I was just really bored, and my company kept offering me more positions that were higher, and I was like, no, I don't see anybody in my company that I would be like, that's where I want to be in like 10 years. Exactly. You know, and I was like, this is not where I want to be. So that's why I kept having panic attacks.
Pretty strange, but totally, that's how my mind works, in terms of if I can see like my life path and it doesn't like excite me in every single way, like I'd rather have no path ahead of me and just like have the option to perhaps make it awesome, or it could be terrible, but like it's fine as long as I don't know what it is. If I know what it is, I'm not happy with it. I'm like, oh no. Oh dear. Thanks. That's helped me understand myself a bit better. I haven't really like, thought of it in that way exactly, but makes a lot of sense. Okay, and then you went into podcasting and things. So how did you turn that into something that makes money so quickly? I guess we can kind of just go through some of your general podcasting tips.
Yeah, absolutely. So I didn't even know that I could make money from podcasting until about 6 months after I started it. And then brands were coming to me, because every time I thought about it, I knew I wanted to make money from it, but I thought it was going to be something in the future. Because every time I talked to other podcasters, I would go on like Facebook groups, people who were in it from like 5 years or more, 3 years or more, 2 years or more, they were like, you're not going to make money from this. So slow down. You need to have a ton of downloads. Like you need this in order to even make that. So it felt really disheartening, because I'm like, wow, so I don't even know how long this is going to take, but I know I really love this. And I was still at my day job at that time, so it wasn't really something that really concerned me, you know, because I didn't need to make money for my podcast. And then 6 months later, two brands actually simultaneously contacted me and was like, how much are you asking in order for us to get an ad space on your podcast? And I was like, what? I thought this would take like years. I don't even have a ton of downloads. I don't know what's happening. And I was just really lucky, because at that time I was interviewing a ton of really great entrepreneurs on my podcast. And I started talking to one of them and I was like, how do I do this? I have no freaking idea how to price myself. I don't know what to offer, because everyone was telling me that this can't be done this early, especially when you don't have a lot of downloads yet. And then he goes to me and he said, well, don't listen to people that don't know how to make money. Like, that's why they're not making money. You need to listen to people who are actually creating income. So then he started sharing with me like how to price myself, how to negotiate, all of those things. And within 8 months, I made my first 5-figure month with my podcast. And the rest, as they say, is history. And a few months after that, because it was just consistent, I was like, okay, I could leave my job. Like I could actually do this. And now it's almost 2.5 years and I'm doing it full time. And that's pretty much how it all started. I didn't know it would happen that fast, but it did.
Sweet. To be getting to 5-figure months, did you then have to increase the downloads, or were you still sort of not huge? I mean, how did you?
Yeah, honestly, I landed that five-figure deal with less than like 4,000 downloads a month. It wasn't a lot at all. Yeah. So I landed those deals. Some of them found me, because also another thing that was really crucial is I started getting featured in a lot of big publications like Forbes, Refinery29. So that made me, in their eyes, an authority in my niche. And I think I also got in at the right time. And I was getting featured in all of these different like travel podcasting, digital nomad podcasts, transitioning stuff like travel, all of those things. And they found me through there, or somebody told them about my podcast. So it's just being found. So you really have to be out there and people have to know you in order for these brands to actually approach you. And also I did a lot of pitching, and I was talking to a few people about this the other day. So it's been over 2 years, and I probably have pitched to 500 to 600 brands, and 95% of those brands either said no, or I haven't heard from. But again, remember I told you about me like just being pit bull with interviews? That's the same way I go about pitching. I don't really care if anybody says no to me. It just means that I need to get better at pitching and negotiating and all of those things, where I need to tweak my pricing, my offerings, my services. So it's always about making yourself better and how to do this well, right? Because the more you practice, the more you're going to get better. So that's really how I approach things. And I think a lot of people, once they get a no, they think it's a no way, never. And I've had companies before that said no. And I was like, can I get back to you in a few months? And they were like, yes. And then I went back to them a few months later. And then we're working together. So don't take no for an answer. If you have to, who cares? Like, go to another brand and just keep making yourself better.
That was useful. Thanks. So do you do any other kind of ways to monetize the podcast in terms of like membership courses and these things? Or is that what you're just starting now?
I'm actually making income through virtual courses. People actually pay me to teach people how to do podcasting. So that's one of the other ways that I do it. I also do one-on-one mentorships for people who want to start this as well. And then I have digital products and so forth. So I try to definitely do a variety of ways to do it, but most of my income is definitely through brand sponsorships. It's interesting because I just wrote my ebook about podcasting and how to monetize it like probably 2 or 3 months ago, because I didn't really feel it was the right time yet. And my friend was like, you're making income from this, like most people don't know how to do that. So I was like, well, that's true. Now I feel like I'm not a fraud. I'm actually doing what I'm saying on my book. So this is the right the right time to do it, because I always hate it when people teach you stuff and they don't have any idea what they're saying.
Yeah. Like the only thing they're making money off is just selling you the idea that they could make money. And you're like, well,
exactly. You're right. Yeah, I didn't want to be that person. And I was like, so you're a business coach, but you've never had a business except for your coaching business.
Definitely. Very strange. That's how these people exist. But yeah, it's really cool. So in terms of other tips on podcasting besides monetization, do you go into like how to work out what to podcast about, how to make it good, how to interview people, these kind of things?
Yeah, absolutely. So the book goes about showing you how to start it, you know, equipments to use, how to edit it, the topics, how you can figure that out as well, your niche, who your avatar is. And then we also go into growing, how to get featured in these publications and all of those things that have really worked for me, because a lot of these brands and companies that want to work with you, it's not just about the downloads, it's about the relevancy of your audience and who they want to target. And I also go into negotiating, creating your media kit, how to price yourself, how to create a pricing sheet. So it just goes into a lot of those details that I feel like a lot of podcasting books and courses don't really go into. They give you like fluff that you can pretty much get online. But that's also because a lot of podcasters don't really know how to monetize their show either. So we talk about all of that stuff.
Super useful. Okay. Yeah, I definitely didn't really put any effort at all into monetizing, but I did have had people approach me and turn most of them away because I didn't always like what the products were and things. But I certainly do have adverts and stuff now, which has been nice. All right. So what's been like the most interesting thing you've learned from the podcasts besides asking people about how to like monetize yours?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things that people share on the show, obviously, because everyone has different backgrounds and all of that. But it's just learning different techniques from everybody. And that's the beauty about podcasting, is that we have this incredible platform that we can literally talk to whoever we want. I mean, if you just came up to somebody and started asking them that would be super awkward, you know? But if you're like, let's go on my podcast, and you just start asking them these questions, they're willing to answer it. So it's just learning strategies and techniques about growing as not just your business, but also as a person and what they've learned and what they've gone through. And I think there's so many of us who are in the trenches, especially if you're doing something that's out of the norm that you think nobody else understands. And then you realize that there is a group of people out there that really understand and have similarities with you. So I love that. And it's just connecting with the people that I've been interviewing. And now most of them are really close friends of mine. I have a handful of them that I talk to even daily, and we just talk about life and business and all of that stuff. So it's really rewarding in a lot of sense.
Cool. Okay. If you could give one piece of advice, what's like the best thing you've heard?
Well, for me, I love failure. The best advice that I could give is to fail and fail forward. It's not failure, it's learning. Every time you fail, you learn and you grow. If you don't fail, then it's probably really boring for you. I know that for a fact, that once you get really good at something and you feel like you know everything, you get really bored and you stop learning too. So always be a constant student. Never be too smart or too good for anything new, and fail forward.
I like this. What would you say has been your biggest failure that you learned the most from?
I think the biggest failure that I definitely learned from is not being too concerned that everything has to be perfect before you move forward with anything in your business. So the three businesses that I had, like, it has to be aesthetically beautiful. This has to be perfect. The website has to be perfect. The logo has to be perfect. The post have to be perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect is BS. So I think we get really bogged down with trying to make everything so perfect that we end up stopping ourselves, and then it turns into fear, and you're like, if this is not perfect enough, then I can't really put this out. And then that actually stops you from actually doing what you need to do. So just get it done, take action, and
sometimes fail, but
and fail, which is fine, because that's how you're gonna learn, because you're not gonna know if it's going to be good unless you put it out there.
Then the classic interview question, what is your biggest weakness?
My biggest weakness is having shiny object syndrome, because it's like you're looking at other people and you're like, oh, that's really interesting. I should start that. So I've been trying to be really good at that, especially lately during COVID. And I'm like, oh my God, I have so much more time now. So instead of doing that, I always ask myself, is this going to make my business grow, or is this just going to distract me? Because every time I start something new, I start all over again. So do I want to keep starting all over again, or do I want to keep growing? So those are the questions that I ask myself every time I want to start something. So now I've been really good at it, that instead of starting something new, I find something in my business that I need to make better. And that's what I do instead of starting something completely new, because oh my God, it would be horrible every time.
I need to get better at shiny objects and doing within just my things. Kind of like with my podcast, is in that yours is like a bit more specific than mine. Mine's very like, I can interview literally anyone under like the remit of what the title is, which just does mean that I interview basically anyone, I feel like. Because it's like, oh, that's interesting. I'd love to have you on. This is great. Like, you mentioned a bit of a life hack to be able to talk to people and learn from them. But it is a bit like a vague, as in, what is the point of the podcast if it's just sort of random people that Sam likes interviewing? And, well, yes. Whereas these, you kind of always have to talk about remote stuff, I guess, which is a bit more focused. Do you ever want to start like another podcast where you just randomly interview anyone and it doesn't really matter if it makes money?
I was thinking of starting another podcast that will go along with how to create a podcast, to teach people how to podcast, but not really, because honestly, it takes a lot of time, and I do put a lot of effort on everything with the podcast, and I have a whole team that supports me with it. So I really don't want to start anything unless I know I'm going to do it well, because right now there's just so many things to focus on in the business that my hobby is like listening to audiobooks, watching Netflix, and painting. So that's like the stuff I can do without stress. So I think if I started another podcast just to start it, it would like turn into another business, and then I'd be like, oh my God, this is more stressful than fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've started a podcast with a friend where we read like a book a week of like philosophy or sort of ancient wisdom. And it's been so good. It's kind of just randomly read what I feel like whenever I feel like mm-hmm. it. It's a bit more focused. But it's definitely, if you could pick like 1,000 books that you want to have read by the time you're sort of 10 years older, it's a bit more deliberate rather than just randomly, oh, I feel like reading this right now. Because you kind of get a bit swept away with like random modern stuff that sounds useful. I am building an app to let you listen to podcasts and books together with other people. Which is, so you can basically have like virtual book clubs with like your mates. That, so if you have like a book that you think would interest them, you could like read it together and then discuss it afterwards.
That's a cool app. That's awesome. I like that idea actually, especially now when we can't be together.
Stuff, yeah.
To get that going before whole thing.
Yeah, so my plan for the whole lockdown was like, I'm just going to do a lot of writing and playing music and like the podcast, that's fine, that's too much time. And then started another podcast and then just been like super busy with this app and like coding and stuck to my computer the whole time. It's like an app that I've wanted forever anyway, but it's not like the whole like holiday thing I planned. Anyway,
never goes to the way you planned it.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I have a break after this, or maybe I'm just like a sucker for like work, which I think I am. Who knows? Okay, anyway, the last few things I like to ask people, what's one of their earliest memories?
What I loved in my childhood was, so the first half of my childhood was in the Philippines. And one of the things that I really loved when I was a kid was every afternoon after school, there would be this ice cream man. So ice cream men in the Philippines, it's not like Mr. Softy in the US or maybe in England too, where they're like in delivery trucks. So in the Philippines, like we have these guys that come in with these like metal containers that the ice cream is in, and they're walking. And then I always remembered going up to them and just watching them scoop up ice cream, and my mouth would be watering, and it was so good. And I would just like wait for them after school and sit by the stoop in our like house and just watch them scoop up ice cream. Sometimes I would get some, sometimes I don't even have any, but I just like to watch them. I just stare down at it and be like, oh my God. So I love anything sweet. So ice cream, cakes, like everything. I know, I'm such a sucker for anything sweet, but yeah, love it still.
Don't try eating porridge for a week without hummus. It would be a nightmare.
Yeah, it'd be super bland, right? You need something in it.
Oh, that's cute. I like that. That's like what we drooling. About life, but it's fascinating. Cool. What's been your favorite recipe you've cooked whilst you've been in lockdown?
Okay, so I tried this recipe for the first time. It's scallion pancakes. Have you ever had those?
No.
So you can get them in like Asian restaurants, but they're so good. And I just tried them because usually it takes a long time to make them. And I found this super easy recipe, and I made it and it was so good. And here in our backyard, we have like fresh scallions. So it's like, we have fresh scallions and they're all dying. I should just make something from it. So I made scallion pancakes and it was delicious.
Scallions are onions?
Yeah, so they're like part of the onion family. They're green. They're like long green. Yeah, they're good.
Any cheese and stuff in it?
No, it's just like some flour, eggs. I put soy sauce in it instead of like salt, and then sesame oil, I think, and then scallions. Sesame
oil is always a good thing.
Yeah, so good. Delicious. Nice. You should try it.
Cool, add it to the list. If there's only 5 ingredients, I might do it next week.
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, cool. Final question. What is the kindest thing or one of the kind things that comes to memory that someone has done for you?
Oh my God, there's so many. I think the kindest things are really super small to me. Like even like holding doors like that, I really appreciate. I think when I was 13, my family are not the type of people to just give money. I'm an only child, but my parents like never gave me money to give me money. So when I was 13, I wanted to start working because every time I would ask my parents for like a dollar, they'd be like, no, you don't need the dollar. So when I was 13, I really wanted to work. And my aunt's friend at that time knew that I really was looking for a job. And over here, it's not legal for anyone under the age of 16 to work yet. So they have this like flower farm out in Long Island in New York City. And she was like, well, I know you really want to work, so you can pick. I think she wanted me to like pick flowers. So I picked flowers, and it was like for an hour or two, and she gave me like $60, and I thought that was like the kindest thing. So that was actually my first time where I understood the value of money really well. I understood what a business was because she was not only like showing me like how to pick the flowers, but also like how to manage her staff. Like she toured me around their area. And so I think that was one of the most kindest things because I learned how important it was to have a business, how to make money on your own, and then also how to run a business well and do it with people who are going to be there and be very loyal to you, because she and her husband were running this very successful business and they were just amazing. And I think that was one of the kindest things that anyone has done for me. Even now, when I was only 13 then, I still remember their kindness and like they were just super open to me.
Yeah, that's really lovely.
Yeah. Ooh. And for a really young kid, like that's a huge impression that you're leaving for them. And I think for anyone out there who has kids or know anyone who's really young, all of these things like make an impact in them. And I think that was the reason why I really wanted to have my own businesses and was really, that was a starting point. And I understood what it was to make money and not just get it just to get it and to really work for it.
Yeah. As in, I mean, it sounds kind of like your own version of the rich dad, poor dad story.
Yeah. Read that. Like, yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of you saying that, like, you don't really enjoy spending money so much, it's more like you like creating money and investing in yourself and things. It sort of sounds like it was sort of put into you from like an early age of like not just having money to spend. It was more like, okay, how can you grow it and really value it and do stuff with it? So yeah, psychology. Yeah.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Have you ever thought like, you'd like to be better at spending money? Because sometimes I do think I could be better at like enjoying it than I am. I kind of good at making it, but like don't really know what to do with it much.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I like, you know what it is? It's not necessarily about making money. I think I like the challenge of it because there's so many challenges that goes into it that I just like to solve the issues, and it gets really frustrating and I get very frustrated a lot. And I think that in itself is super challenging to me. And honestly, with the way I spend money, I just know there's certain things that really make me happy when I spend it. Like I will spend it on obviously running a business and making that grow, but also like I'm more into experiences. I know people say that a lot, but I don't really wear jewelry. I don't really buy too many clothes. It doesn't make me happy. I don't buy handbags or shoes. I literally go to my mom's closet and like wear her shoes and handbags because I just don't see the need of doing that. And then I give it back to her because I would probably use it once to like a meeting and then that's it. But other than that, I think if it doesn't give me pleasure, I just don't do it.
Yeah, same.
But you know what I do like to spend money on is food, because I love food. So like anytime I want to spend money outside of business, like it'll be either traveling or food, because I love food so much. I love it.
That's good to hear. I thought there's something on that wonderful note. I guess we can all go and enjoy some food. Maybe scallions. Yeah.
Well, as you can tell, my first memory was of ice cream that just tells you.
Yeah. I really remember my nan used to make ice cream with us when we used to go visit her. And like, we still haven't quite worked out, but you used to get like condensed milk and then boil just the can whole. You put in like a saucepan and boil it. And I don't know what I did to it, but then you sort of, you'd put it in a mixer and it would just turn really fluffy. And you add like the sugar and things and some vanilla. And you basically just have like a liter worth of like ice cream. It's just really vanilla-y and nice. And after it freezes, there's like a treacly layer at the bottom. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, homemade ice cream. Maybe you could try it now. You could try making
it's a bit unhealthy. I quite like making it with bananas instead. Like,
yeah, those are good too.
Bananas, and it's super simple.
Like I make a milkshake and it's just frozen bananas with almond milk. Oh my god, it's so good.
That's great.
You should try it. It literally, it tastes exactly like a milkshake and you won't even know the difference. It's so good. Try it.
Yeah, I love these types of sweet hacks where you can get like stuff that tastes just as bad as if it should be really naughty, but actually it's really, really good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Okay, on that note, we will actually end this time, I think. Good. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Aw, thanks for having me, Sam. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
You, and stay safe during lockdown.
You
and
too.
Hopefully we can just do a book together sometime soon. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we should.
Cool. All right. Ta-ra.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser, and I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I also run the Curious Comforts podcast, finding out what's going on in the world and how to improve it with industry insiders. We've been focusing on the effects of the coronavirus lately, but I also discuss broader things like climate change and AI. Most recently, I've been building an app, Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other, or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So it's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial, and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason. But I do love doing things with other people, and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things, and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you, and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this. And obviously, do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening. Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.